This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm screwed now for the rest of our career because I just called them Mander and Zanny. And I've done that before with Mud and Dawn, and I called them Dud and Mon on the air. And every time I say Mud and Dawn, I have to give my brain a second to catch up. Hey, man, I sure love watching Mud and Dawn. I can't say it fast anymore. And so now, for the rest of my career, it's going to be Mander and Zanny. And I'm sorry. It's a just something. Now, they talked about Dud and Mon, by the way.
Dud and Mon.
Dud and Mon. Now, they talked about Dud and Mon. Why don't you slow down? Relax a little bit. Lunatic. So now, we've got Mander and Zanny.
Zanny, kind of street lingo for a Xanax, right? A Zanny?
Whoa. I've never heard that.
Had you not heard that one?
What did you call it?
Street lingo?
Street lingo.
Yeah.
Street lingo. Out on the streets.
Hey, anybody got any Zanny?
Zanny. Right, got a Zanny? Yeah,
hi, I'd like a 2 Zanny.
Please.
Look. 2 hits of Zanny.
2 hits. 2 hits. 2 bags of Zanny, please. Street lingo. Lisa says, how does BBB know this and not BBW? I know that. I know that it's called Zanny. Come on. Mander.
And Zanny.
And Zanny. Mander and Zanny. Xander and Manny.
All right. Now, I need you to explain why getting new fans
is
a bad thing for the San Diego Padres.
You're a word twister is what you are.
That's what I heard.
You're taking me out of context. Damn it.
That's what we all heard.
No, my buddy called me the other day. He listened to, it's our buddy Jack, and he was listening to our show the other day after the particularly brutal loss. And how we all kind of got spun out about it. And
it was Tuesday morning.
Tuesday morning. And it was not my favorite show. He actually said, I loved it. I thought it was great. He goes, listening to you guys who are pros get just spun out about this team and, you know, Manny swinging and this thing. He goes, I thought it was great radio. He said, I will say, man, I do feel like, he goes, number one, I do feel like you guys help contribute to the madness. I said, yes, absolutely. I'll wear that one. He said, I also feel like the 2020 season set baseball back a long way. And I said, how come? And he said, well, every game was so important. It was so, so, so important. That
for two reasons. Right? Because, first of all, the season was so short.
So
you're already
short.
In a pennant race, a playoff chase, day one. Because you're like coming down the stretch.
Yeah, the stretch.
Every game was like the equivalent of regular
season. So that was reason one. But reason two was we had nothing else to do or watch.
Correct.
So we would, I mean, if you're like me, especially during the pandemic, I mean, I'm still like this, but you'd basically build your entire day knowing around, I got a chance to watch a Padres game, competitive baseball game, after months of lockdown with nothing. I now have 60 Padres games, and I can look forward and savor each one of them. They're all the most important thing in the world to me on this day.
And it was as close to an NFL season feeling as you got. It really. And it was, everybody was balls to the wall. Manny was making catches out in right field. I mean, it was, your bullpen management was different. Your starters were managed differently. It was really, it was balls to the wall baseball. Now, if you want to make a case to shorten the season, I'm all for it. Maybe keep a little sanity in my life. But I did think to myself, yeah, man, it might have even changed my perception as well on how we cover the team, how I watch the games. There's no reason on the planet, Benny, that a couple of weeks ago or whatever it was against the Cubs, that I should be sitting on the edge of my bed in the eighth inning, biting my nails like it's game seven. And that's exactly what I was doing. I mean, the first Dodger comeback we had in the series in L.A., rocking back and forth. I'm like, it's April at this point. What are you doing? And I just think the mindset has changed. And also, you couple that with the fact that this team has had so much promise. They spent money. They've had
that's
all these.
That's the third part of it. And the fourth part of it is that the Chargers left, which left us, you know, in the past, 10 years ago, if the Padres have a bad series, it's all right. I'll worry about the, you know, Chargers draft, and then you got minicamp coming up, and you turn your attention to something else. Dude. But now more fans in San Diego are singularly fixated on the Padres.
Which, by the way, is awesome. It's awesome. It's great for us. It's great for the team. Petco Park is filled. Like, people are living in that. And I'm going to tell the skipper that today when we talk to him is like, all the comments are not positive, Mike, but at least they're commenting. They really do care. And I do feel like at the end of the day, everybody that's pissed, that's yelling at me, that I'm yelling at, blah, 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 whatever, they just want to win. And I think that's what it boils down to. I saw yesterday, it's funny you bring that up, because I saw a listener tweeting at Sports Radio Philadelphia to the flagship, okay? They're like, guys, what in the world is going on? I'm in my car. It's prime time. And I'm listening to the Eagles schedule talk. The Phillies are one of the hottest teams in baseball, if not the hottest teams in baseball. And I've just listened to an hour of Phillies schedule talk. Then their hosts come on. They're defending their decision. And I just thought to myself, that's never going to be us. Never. Like, we're going to get an MLS team. We're going to get this. We're going to get that. This is what our show will be forever, whether it's here at 97.3 The Fan, if they put us on another station. It's still going to be that. So I don't necessarily mind living and dying with it. Perspective, though, is very important.
I do strongly agree with you, especially on one point. First, need a contestant for Take on Woods. So if you wanted to call in right now, we're just a couple minutes away from our game and chance to qualify for the trip to Las Vegas. 833-288-0973. It's head-to-head against Woods, our musical trivia daily challenge. 833-288-0973. Call in, wait to get on hold, and then we'll get to you in just a couple of minutes. I strongly agree with you when you say, yes, it doesn't feel good to take a three-game sweep by the Rockies, so it feels so painful and so important, but it is better than the alternative, which is just not caring at all.
Correct.
Like not
correct.
Really having no, they lost. What? Doesn't matter. We don't care. Doesn't matter. They're not going anywhere. At least we have the hope, one way or another, that these games still mean something for the San Diego Padres. And for many years prior to Ron Fowler and Peter Seidler, we didn't really have the hope that the games, even early in the season, were meaningful. It was the Cubs situation where you show up day one at Wrigley Field and it's, hey, we'll get them next season. And it's the first day and you're already like, we're out of it. At least it's not like that anymore, where we can say, yeah, for good or bad, these games are truly meaningful for the San Diego Padres.
And Dominic says in the chat, Dominic lives in Baltimore. He says, Baltimore does it too. Talking Ravens in May instead of the Baltimore Orioles, which to me, you know, when we were at the old station, our producer or whatnot would be so mad when we weren't talking the NFL. And that battle of banging heads with him every day with the bosses in the office every day. I'm not exaggerating.
Literally
meetings every day. Why aren't you guys talking NFL? Why are you talking about Joey Lucchese? Nobody knows who he is. I said, because it's smart to do that? No, you don't know what you're talking about. You've only been doing sports radio for 6 months. But we don't have a team. And it was every day, the constant battle. So I do take some of the blame.
The mega market. We got to be the Rams.
We got to be the mega market.
The Rams home in San Diego.
Do you know what Orioles fans say when their team gets swept? Nobody knows, because the Orioles have not been swept in 105 consecutive series.
That's
the third longest streak in baseball history. It's under the radar. One of the most amazing things that I saw this week, they had to win the second game of a two-game series against the Blue Jays to keep the streak going. That includes two-game series, by the way. They have not been swept in 105 consecutive series. You know, no rainout, two-game series. That was a rainout shortened series, and they still avoided the sweep. That keeps your fan base from panicking too much when you never, you never go on a losing streak.
Because well, I mean,
you can't go on a losing streak if you don't get swept.
If nobody's talking about them. Kyle says, I live in the Twin Cities. There's hardly ever a single segment that talk about the Twins. And it is just crazy. It's just crazy. You know, and I, as much as it would be nice to have other content streams, I think I would lose my mind in here talking about the schedule. And hey guys, I got an idea. Let's go around with the schedule. Ben, how many games will the Chargers win this year? Let's start there. Open with Kansas City. They're 0-1. But then they go to the Raiders. Oh, they're probably 1-1. Are you effing kidding? That'd be the worst. I don't know that I could make it. So I'm happy with what we have. I understand the fandom, the passion, the crazy living and dying, because I do it too. I absolutely do it too.
We go through the schedule on Take on Woods. You see a lot of W's for Woods in our game, but will today be one of them? Let's get to it. It is time to Take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Take on Woods. Woods.
All right, look at all these lines. Let's try line 5, Paul. Caller, you're on the air for Take on Woods. Who's this?
This is Jack.
Jack? All right. Are you you calling to battle Woods here today?
Yeah, it's my first time.
You're in. Love it. First timer. Take on Woods is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. If you can beat or tie Woods, we'll put you into the drawing for the two-night stay at the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. Two tickets to the Warrant, Lita Ford, and Para Landris show on June 22nd. Get your tickets now at Ticketmaster.com. All right, first timer, your advantage is getting to pick the category for today's game and keeping Woods in the dark. Your choices, Jack, are A View to a Killer, the word killer key in all those, In the Year of Our Lord, five different songs that include years in the title. And our new category today is called Written by Prince. You're trying to identify five artists with hits that were actually written by Prince. So you got A View to a Killer, In the Year of Our Lord, or Written by Prince. Jack, what would you like to play?
Let's do the first one.
First one, A View to a Killer. All right, you have 60 seconds to answer up to 5 questions. If you don't know an answer, say pass. We'll come back to it. The word killer is going to be key in all these questions and answers, lyrics, bands, song titles, what have you. So keep that in mind. First question is our 2-second song. You need to identify both the title of the song and the artist by the small clip that Paulie plays. Jack, you ready?
Let's do it.
All right, 60 seconds on the clock. Woods is in isolation. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Jack. Let's take on Woods.
Somebody I used to know, the Killers.
Ooh, close, but no. Released at the same time as the Son of Sam murder spree, which early Talking Heads hit features bridge lyrics sung in French? Which high-class call girl is dynamite with a laser beam in a 1974 song written by Freddie Mercury?
Killer Queen.
Correct. Which rapper and activist formed the duo Run the Jewels with producer LP in 2013?
Queen Latifah.
Incorrect. The killer in me is the killer in you is a line from which 1994 hit by the Smashing Pumpkins?
This song.
Correct. Let's go back to released at the same time as the Son of Sam murder spree, which early Talking Heads hit features bridge lyrics sung in French.
I don't know this one.
Okay, that's the only one we've got left. So you've got 2 correct. It's Somebody Told Me by the Killers, not Somebody I Used to Know. That's Gautier.
Somebody told you.
You were on the right track, too. I wish I could give you that one. But you did get Killer Queen and Disarm. The other 2, Psycho Killer by the Talking Heads. And Killer Mike is the rapper in Run the Jewels. Let's see how Woods does here. Stay on the line, Jack. You know, 2 could get you the tie, maybe get you in. And Woods doesn't get the category. Could be a tricky one. All right, Jack's score is locked in. Put 60 seconds back on the clock. Woods, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Jack.
But Is Somebody Told Me by the Killer.
Correct. Released at the same time as the Son of Sam murder spree, which early Talking Heads hit features bridge lyrics sung in French.
Psycho Killer.
Correct. Which high-class call girl is dynamite with a laser beam in a 1974 song written by Freddie Mercury? Which rapper and activist formed the duo Run the Jewels with producer LP in 2013?
Killer Mike.
Correct. The killer in me is the killer in you is a line from which 1994 hit by the Smashing Pumpkins.
Disarm.
Correct. Which high-class call girl is dynamite with a laser beam?
Oh, Killer Queen.
There you go. It's a 5 for 5 and a win for Woods again. Who remains undefeated this month in Take on Woods. Jack, thanks for being a first-time player. Please call and try again at any time. You gave it a good effort, but 5-2. He just twisted the words on the somebody told me. He said somebody you used to know instead of
that's Gauthier. Somebody,
that's Gauthier. Yeah. But a well played game by both of you this morning, but especially by you, sir.
Thank you very much.
5 for 5 is always good.
Yeah, Robert Suarez. That's who I am.
You are this month.
Yeah, this
that's
month.
For sure. All right, we've got Don't Do This is coming up next.
I've got one of the coolest doo-doo thises that I've ever seen,
really?
And it is right up my alley.
All right, I'm looking forward to it because I don't know what Woods is going to be talking about next on San Diego's number one sports station after a traffic check here on 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Oh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't Do This is brought to you by the Kraft Taco in Sorrento Valley. The Kraft Taco has some of the best quality tacos in all of San Diego. Go to thecrafttaco.com. Take a look at their happy hour specials today. Thecrafttaco.com. And to lead us off this morning and Don't Do This, Stephen Woods.
Oh, I saw a video last night that, you know, it's making the rounds, Ben, on social media. Dodgers starter Tyler Glasnow was pulled aside by the umps. You know, they did the sticky stuff check. Now, it's fine. They do it to every single pitcher. But they did zoom in on his hand, and boy, did it look sticky. He was not ejected for this, though, last night. But they zoom in on his hand, and there's just brown gunk all over his pitching thumb. And, you know, we just talked about the Ronel Blanco situation in Houston. Did he get suspended?
Yeah, 10 games.
He did
just like Robert Suarez last year.
Is he appealing that?
There's
that you can't do it, right?
I mean, Robert did appeal. You can appeal it.
And
but
pitch,
you're going to lose.
You're going to lose
until you're
eventually.
Done. I did not see if he appealed or not. But.
What was interesting, though, is the umpires are literally feeling around his hands, and there's a good amount of brown gunk on those hands. I guess there's different rules apply, maybe, to the LA Dodgers.
You know, the rules when it comes to the
jerk,
sticky.
By the way.
No,
I'm just being a jerk.
I know, but there
sorry,
is,
Mark
baseball
B
does
SD.
Have a problem when it comes to. The definition of sticky stuff.
Yeah.
It's more of.
By the way, though, he is an admitted sticky stuff lover.
User in
lover,
the past.
Lover of it.
But it's kind of like, what's the old Supreme Court definition of the obscenity? I can't describe it, but I know it when I see it. It's really for umpires. It's basically, I can't tell you how sticky is too sticky, but I know it when I feel it, when I touch your hands. But there's no like established like baseline in terms of stickiness that gets you thrown out.
I would think a brown substance on your pitching thumb.
Yeah, but you are allowed to use the rosin,
which is white.
Which is white, yes.
But it lays in brown dirt.
You're also allowed to have dirt on your hands as well. And, you know, if it doesn't feel sticky, then the umpires don't really, do anything about
it's
it.
It's really just sad.
But if it does, then the player can't do anything about it. And you're out and you're suspended just because the umpire decided that this feels a little too sticky to me.
It's really just sad. Bo watched the video and I caught him loading up his hands with sticky stuff. This is what happens. He's now wanting to catch an edge. He said, I'd like to make the money Tyler Glasnow makes, Dad, someday. And
you gotta be careful because that's a gateway substance.
It really is. And it's now, and now my son is loading up his glove with sticky stuff. Thanks to Tyler Glasnow. So watch out. Yeah, he does. He thinks it's funny. He is cheating cool to you, Bo? He said, Tyler Glasnow does it. I can do it. I'm just being a jerk, you guys. But the video was pretty interesting to see.
Talked about it at the start of the show, but we'll update here in Don't Do This. The Scottie Scheffler incident and the very sad incident at the PGA Championship where a pedestrian on his way to the tournament was hit and killed by a bus, one of the tournament buses this morning. It caused a huge traffic backup, though, and Scheffler trying to make his way to the course and get through in his courtesy car did not stop when an officer tried to stop him. The officer, like, jumped on the hood of his car. Scheffler continued to drive, like, 10 yards before stopping. He was pulled out of his car, arrested, booked in Louisville, like, county jail, mugshot released, charged with various charges, including assault on a police officer, mayhem, criminal mayhem, reckless driving. But he was released, and he has made it to the course. Now, he just released a statement, or his team released a statement on his personal Instagram. This is what Scottie Scheffler had to say. This morning, I was proceeding as directed by police officers. It was a very chaotic situation, understandably so, considering the tragic accident that had occurred earlier, and there was a big misunderstanding of what I thought I was being asked to do. I never intended to disregard any of the instructions. I'm hopeful to put this to the side and focus on golf today. Of course, all of us involved in the tournament express our deepest sympathies to the family of the man who passed away in the earlier accident this morning. It truly puts everything in perspective. That's the statement from Scottie Scheffler, who did make it back to the course about an hour before his delayed tee time. He has just started his second round, and he has birdied the first hole.
Of course he did.
Because of course he did, because he's Scottie Scheffler, and he's now four shots behind Xander Schauffele, your first round leader, already lurking in the rearview mirror. Even arrest and going to jail can't slow down Scottie Scheffler, who's won four of his last five tournaments, including a green jacket, finished second in the tournament he didn't win, had a baby, family for the first time, and now he's back in contention. Fresh out of jail at the PGA Championship.
Birdie's his first hole. That's sociopathic behavior.
Yes, it is.
It's really, really is.
You know I respect that.
Yes, I do. This is a great do-do this, right up my alley.
D.D. Mega Doo-Doo.
Saw the Atlanta Braves, who will be taking on this weekend, Benjamin, tweeted this last night. August 7th, Spencer Strider Vinyl Night. Be one of the first 15,000 fans in attendance to receive a free custom vinyl with tracks personally selected by Spencer. Now, the cool twist
Not performed
this,
by
no,
Spencer.
No, no, no. Okay. This is not his record.
His favorite songs or whatever.
It's no, this is the cool part. So here's the addendum to it. On Wednesday, August 7th, the first 15,000 fans will receive a 7-inch vinyl record featuring one of Spencer Strider's favorite Atlanta-based bands, Trash Panda. No, featuring one of. Trash Panda, Dinner Time, and Lunar Vacation.
Is it just like a one single, like a small record with one song on it, and you get
No, it's three local bands that he has picked some tunes from, which I think is really cool, celebrating the local bands, the local music scene in Atlanta, and has a little blurb about each of the bands. I think that's really...
That's a very unique giveaway.
What a clever...
It's awesome.
Now, they've given away records at games before. Disco Demolition Night years ago.
That's right.
It's a 7-inch, so it's not the full big vinyl, but it's still the
Wasn't that
the
also
single.
10-cent beer night as well at the same time, maybe?
I don't know, but it was like a promotion because disco sucked, and they wanted to burn...
Disco records.
And wreck disco records.
Disco does not suck, by the way.
It did at the time.
But now it's cool, right?
Yeah, everything eventually comes back. Right. Like, you'll be in like 30 years, you'll be super cool.
I will.
Yeah. Oh, nice. 100%. Yeah.
Because I was cool in the past?
No, just things I don't, that We're kind of.
I don't remember ever being cool.
But you will be cool.
I'm like disco
later.
Now. I'm like disco that's not cool.
Correct.
Ben Demolition Night.
It's going to be.
Everyone's going to look back fondly on those Ben
yes.
nostalgia years and think how great he was.
Now you get it. Now you get it. What a cool, unique promotion that they're doing, though. I love it. And somebody asked me last night, all right, what Padre should do this? And I immediately popped in my head Dylan Cease. But then again, Dylan's not from here. Joe Musgrove.
Yeah, local
celebrates
bands.
Celebrates a lot of
well,
local bands.
I mean, I think you want to go with some original. I had my idea, because Padres are always coming up with pretty unique giveaway items. Like the poncho was amazing.
I wore it all weekend, by the
all
way.
All right, if you're going to go something creative and art, we talked about to Dylan Cease this week, and you asked him, would he be willing to sell one of his paintings? What if they made prints of like a Dylan Cease original and
so
handed
cool.
out prints
yeah.
be awesome.
To the first 40,000 fans
I would love
of a
it.
Dylan Cease artwork, and it could be Dylan Cease Art Night or something, or Dylan Cease Painting Night
I think that
at
is
Petco
a,
Park.
Oh, that was it. Squirrely says, if you brought a record at Comiskey Park, you got in for a dollar.
Ah, okay.
So then everyone was going to throw their records, and they were going to demolish them. But there's records flying through the air. There was an explosion.
They're hard plastic. That's not
yeah,
necessarily
dude.
The safest thing.
But so that's the one thing you worry about. But I'm not too worried that Atlanta fans are going to be slinging those things around like frisbees. But what a cool promotion that is.
And that is Don't and Do This for a Friday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Do we dare open any phone lines on this Friday? We do.
Want to.
After the Padres getting swept by the Colorado Rockies, opening a 4-game series tonight in Atlanta against the Braves. If you want to join us,
I want to talk to the people.
Share your feelings about the Padres. You can do so in our next segment. We got a big, long, bottom of the hour segment coming up. We can look ahead to the series as well as some of the pitching matchups ahead against the Atlanta Braves. Give us a call, 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. Want to hear from you, Padres fans, on a Friday on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Sarah and Ben and Woods brought to you by Prize Picks. Join the biggest moments in sports with Prize Picks. Pick your players, pick your stats, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details.
My buddy Mark B and SD, one of like three realtor fans, he tweeted me, he goes, I knew that bit of Tyler Glasnow and his sticky hands was coming at my expense. You have to every now and then. It is weird, though. I watched the video again during the break. I mean, it's like all over his hands. It looks like, somebody said, it looks like when you get sap on your hands. You know, if you get the Christmas tree?
Oh, yeah.
You're screwed.
Carry the Christmas tree in from the top of the car, and you've got it's like off on your hands, and you cannot get it off.
The greatest scene in Christmas Vacation when the magazine's sticking to his
hand.
Little full.
A lot of sap.
You can't. You can't. So it is interesting to me that, of course, nothing happened to Tyler.
Your mother waxes her upper lip.
Yeah, that's for years.
Trying to get the magazine off his hands.
I did. I think it was Jesse and Tony were talking about it, that the rules obviously haven't completely gotten sticky stuff out of the game.
Correct.
But Tony says he thinks it's gotten like spider tack out of the game.
Yeah,
because
yeah. And Eno said that too.
You can't. Oh, maybe it was Eno who said
it. Was Eno.
You can't get that off of your hands. There is stuff that you can use that's sticky that then you can wipe off with if you have a, you know, maybe part of your uniform pan is soaked in a little rubbing alcohol that you can get off of your hands before it's checked. But the really sticky stuff that was being used doesn't come off that easily. So the checks do have some effectiveness in limiting the amount of sticky stuff that players can use, but it hasn't gotten it out of the game completely.
Yeah, and they do go into the glove, and you know, we had talked to a big league pitcher years ago, and his workaround for it, and he never used it. And I asked him, "What do you think you could do?" He goes, "I would." He goes, "My slider that's pretty good would be outstanding if I could use spider tack on it.
I would be an all-star every single year.
I'd be an all-star every single year because I throw hard. I throw from the left side. I can spin it like a madman. And if I can get a bunch of RPMs on it, I can absolutely, you know, I would be an all-star." And I said, "Well, how do you get around it?" He goes, "Dude, there's so many different ways." And they look at you like you're dumb for not knowing. He goes, that stuff that you put, you know, your hand sanitizer. My kids carry it on their backpacks to school.
The gel hand sanitizer.
It's clear. So you load your pants up with that in one area, and then you kind of manipulate it to where it cleans off your hands as you walk back for your check from the umpire. I looked at him, I go, "People do this?" He goes, "Oh yeah."
Oh, yeah. There's weird parts of the glove you put it in. So they give it kind of the cursory look. But when the camera did zoom in, you see his thumb is just caked with brown stuff. And you're like, all right, man, that's the bottom of the ball. Like, that's how you spin that thing, right? Like, so it was just interesting. Nothing happened to him. Probably nothing's going to happen to him, but definitely an interesting one.
There's one person that I'm confident is not using sticky stuff. That would be tonight's starter for the Padres, Matt Waldron. Because the last thing he wants to do is spin the ball. And you do not want any extra spin coming off when you try to throw a knuckleball.
He's got sandpaper. He's trying to spin.
Knuckleballers are known for cheating in the past.
They are.
But they're not doctoring their hands. They're doctoring the ball to try to make it more chaotic and unpredictable.
Correct.
When they throw that knuckleball and make it flutter and dance even more, and that's why
you know
the emery board, the thumbtacks that cause the ball to actually move more. That's different than the kind of cheating that's been going on lately in baseball.
There's been so many good videos over the years of the pitchers getting checked and stuff. Nothing will ever top Phil Niekro reaching into his back pocket, pulling the emery board out, and throwing his hands up wildly, and you see the emery board flying from his hand. But the hands go like, what, me? And you see a board fly from his hand.
Right onto the infield, where the entire crowd can see it. Everyone on television can see it. It's like, who, me?
Me?
I would never.
It was the big hand throw. The big one, you know, just what?
And then, that's just for my fingernails because I need to have them well manicured to throw a good knuckleball.
There's nothing weird going on here. Look, nothing's ever changed in baseball. Nothing's ever going to change. All these guys are going to be looking for an edge of some sort. But I just did. I found it interesting last night. He got beat. You know, Tyler Glasnow got beat. So how about Ellie De La Cruz? Holy smokes! Now I only stopped. I turned it off in like the fifth. He had 4 steals already in the fifth inning, Ben.
He didn't get any more after that.
4 steals in 5 innings is insane. He is such a freak to watch. Very excited to play them next.
By the way, speaking of giveaway items, we were just talking about the Spencer Strider records they're going to give out. Apparently, it was pretty much a zoo at Dodger Stadium last night. They had the Shohei Ohtani bobblehead, the first one. But it was only for the first 40,000 fans, and they had like 53,000.
Yeah.
And Dodger fans knew it. So they were all like getting there like 2 hours before the game, and it was chaos because everyone was arriving early. And they said it was pretty crazy last night at Dodger Stadium for the Shohei Ohtani bobblehead.
Okay, so you get a bobblehead. You put it on eBay. What would you think the top price would be for a Shohei Ohtani bobblehead? What do you think it would be set?
No, you had to go to the trouble of getting tickets to the game,
right?
Going to the game.
What
so,
are you selling it for? If you list it.
I'm listing it for $200.
There are Shohei Ohtani bobbleheads on eBay right now for $5,000.
And then
I just looked on eBay right now, not searching highest to lowest, just whatever popped up.
Yeah.
$380.
Okay,
there are
good.
$206.
So, $247. What they did also, there was like 2% of them were in road gray jerseys,
yes.
And those are even more valuable
rare.
And rare. So I think those are being sold for even more.
$3,100 for the gray.
Yeah.
Dang, dude, this one's going for $1,300. $2,500.
Imagine paying that for a bobblehead.
$1,600. Insane.
What could Joe and Theo net me? I have one at home. I wouldn't do it. I'd have, you know, I what do you think that would net me?
Did you take it out of the box already?
It's out of the box.
Then you already wrecked the value.
The value is down.
You can get one of those on eBay for $45.
Okay.
$25. $32.
Okay. All right. Not bad. Not bad at all.
We need some callers here. We asked the question, Woods' Kierkegaard quote from the other day in the round table. Life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forwards. I would like to know whether Padres fans truly believe the Rockies series was a pivotal moment in the 2024 season or a blip on the radar. Like, what's your true emotions about that series? Because it feels to us like there's panic in the air among fans. But that's not always truly the case with everybody. Do you really think that the Padres just showed that they're now headed in the wrong direction? Or are you more convinced by what was happening before? The Padres, a team that was building some momentum and playing good baseball. What do you really think? Give us a call, 833-288-0973. I am curious what the real temperature of Padres fans is, and this is ahead of our conversation with Mike Shildt coming up at 9 o'clock. If you want to call us now, 833-288-0973. We'll get to that after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Apparently, Padres fans do want to tell us their opinion of what's going on, because instantly full phone lines here at 833-288-0973. Blip on the radar or very telling series against the Colorado Rockies. Let's go out to, let's try Jamie. You're on with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Good morning, Jamie.
Hey, guys. Yeah, it's been an interesting, for me, it's different. It's been better at times. And then you get some of these slips, like losing to the Rockies and losing to the Phillies. I'm a season ticket holder. I've been there for a long time, and I watch every game, even when I'm not at the ballpark. And, you know, some of it is just, you know, we hear about the effort and all the thing and their fight and all that, but it doesn't come across that way for me as a fan. Like, you know, some of the things that happen like that. Speaking of that night with the bases loaded, one out, and Manny Machado comes up and swings at the first pitch and hits into a double play, and my buddy and I are, like, beside ourselves, like, how is that a smart baseball play when this guy has been and the Rockies have walked, what was it, 8 batters, and then he comes back and tells us that after, you know, the next day that he's going to continue doing stuff like that. And for me, it's like, yes, you know, the biggest ego we had is gone, which is great. I think we're a much better team without Soto, but we still seem to have the egos and the overpayment. I mean, if you look just what Bogaerts and Machado's, the amount of money we're paying these two guys, that's why my buddy go, bro, that's like $65 million there that we're paying a year. I pay a whole shitload of money. Sorry.
Oh, all right.
All right, Jamie, I do appreciate the call, and you got to keep it clean next time. But
I don't want to rehash the whole Manny situation from Tuesday. If you want to hear that, you can go back and listen on the Odyssey app. I do appreciate the call. I do appreciate a season ticket holder, too, man, that just isn't sure yet. I think that's, if you can glean anything from that, it is that he's just unsure. You know, which is, I think, a very common theme.
I would disagree
right
with his take that we're a much better team without Soto.
I would too. I would too. Production wise, certainly. And I know that Juan Soto did not light it up here like he's done so far. How is he doing? I haven't seen anything from him recently. We'll get our chance to see him next week when he comes to town. I absolutely think it's
batting 302, 9 home runs.
But he was hitting like 350 with 9 home runs a couple weeks ago. He's definitely cooled off a little bit, but like we were talking about
OPS
the Dodgers, but then Aaron Judge heats up, and then someone else carries them. The Padres haven't gotten that like the Yankees have gotten this season.
Correct.
You don't have to, even if you're Juan Soto, Manny Machado, whoever, you don't have to be hot 162
games.
You
can't be, actually. I mean, it's really, really hard to do.
It's you have to have guys who, you know, occasionally take turns being hot and carrying the team. And the Padres haven't had those guys. Jurickson Profar has done it so far. That's not the guy you're counting on or paying to do that. You're paying other guys, really, to be the guys who put the team on their back and carry them. And those guys have not done it so
far. But I can understand the is that a word? Unsuredness? He's just unsure.
Uncertainty.
Uncertainty. Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. The uncertainty of being a Padres fan. And again, Elston yesterday with that record for the last 3 years is you're essentially a 500 team, which I just don't think anybody thought. I don't think anybody thought.
But aren't like the Yankees essentially a 500 team the last 3 years, too?
Good point.
I mean,
it's a good point.
It's not only the Padres who have played 500 baseball with talented players on their roster.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, but they have skins that they can point to, and they have
long time ago.
Well, yeah, a long time ago.
Well, maybe that changes the emotion level of their fan base,
yeah,
knowing they have championships in the past, it really doesn't matter. Just like the back of a baseball card. 27 World Series titles. You know how that helps you winning another one this year? Zero.
Zero.
Zero, none at all.
But I think for the fans, you know, at least you have something. Yeah, yeah, you've done it before. You know you can do it again. Getting that first one, obviously, is really hard.
Let's go to David, your next up. Keep it clean, David, please, on 97 through the fan.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Hey,
bud.
And I have to tell you, in all honesty, I'm not a huge Padres fan, but I'm going to tell you, I think this is a blip on the radar. I umpired baseball for a number of years, and I've seen cream rise to the top, and I think, just like what you're saying, I think that Manny and Tatis and Bogarts are all going to come around at some point during the year, but, you know, baseball is all about numbers. You're going to have a bad slide, and you're going to have a good slide. I'm actually a Rockies fan, so I was happy to see what happened this weekend. But,
you son of a bitch.
You know,
all right, David,
I'm a Royals and Rockies fan, so I've suffered a lot. But, you know, it's fun to go to the games and watch them play, but I think the fans are just a little too worked up at this point. That's my
I think this is really right telling. Now. David, thank you so much for the call. I think it's really telling that I get the sense that neutral observers have more faith in the Padres than Padres fans sometimes.
Well, because I think Padres fans are in it. You know, a neutral observer, like you said, he's like, oh, I watch the games. It's fun to go to games. But the Padres fans are in it.
Yeah,
they're knee-deep.
But a neutral observer looks and goes, yeah, they got a pretty good roster, a lot of talented players. It's one series. They've been playing well earlier. Why would the fan base be panicking right now? They don't understand why you're so upset and why you're so nervous about the team going forward after a bad series. Yeah, sure, it was the Rockies, but Rockies were, they looked and they said, the Rockies were kind of hot, caught them at a good time. That's just what happens in baseball. Why are Padres fans so up in arms after this series? Those are the neutral observers. The Padres fans, meanwhile, are here we go again. This is the beginning of the end. We knew this was coming, and now our worst fears are being realized. That's the sense that I get.
Impending doom. Yes.
All right. We will continue with this conversation after we talk with Jake Mintz of Cespedes Family Barbecue. He will be up next talking baseball on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Sarah Mena Woods brought to you by Prize Picks. Join the biggest moments in sports with Prize Picks. Pick your players, pick your stats, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com. For details.
My buddy Mark B and SD, one of like three realtor fans, he tweeted me, he goes, I knew that bit of Tyler Glasnow and his sticky hands was coming at my expense. You have to every now and then. It is weird though. I watched the video again during the break. I mean, it's like all over his hands. It looks like, somebody said, it looks like when you get sap on your hands. You know, if you get the Christmas tree.
Oh, yeah.
You're screwed.
Carry the Christmas tree in from the top of the car, and you've got
it's off
on your hands, and you cannot get it off.
The greatest scene in Christmas Vacation when the magazine's sticking to his
hand.
Little full. A lot of sap. You can't. So it is interesting to me that, of course, nothing happened to Tyler.
Your mother waxes her upper lip. Trying to get the magazine off his hands.
I did. I think it was Jesse and Tony were talking about it, that the rules obviously haven't completely gotten sticky stuff out of the game.
Correct.
But Tony says he thinks it's gotten like spider tack out of the game.
Yeah, because you can't, Eno said that too.
You can't. Oh, maybe it was Eno who said
it.
You can't get that off of your hands. There is stuff that you can use that's sticky that then you can wipe off with if you have a, you know, maybe part of your uniform pan is soaked in a little rubbing alcohol that you can get off of your hands before it's checked. But the really sticky stuff that was being used doesn't come off that easily. So the checks do have some effectiveness in limiting the amount of sticky stuff that players can use, but it hasn't gotten it out of the game completely.
Yeah, they do go into the glove. And, you know, we had talked to a big league pitcher years ago, and his workaround for it, and he never used it. And I asked him, what do you think you could do? He goes, my slider that's pretty good would be outstanding if I could use spider tack on it.
I would be an all-star every single year.
I'd be an all-star every single year because I throw hard. I throw from the left side. I can spin it like a madman. And if I can get a bunch of RPMs on it, I can absolutely, you know, I would be an all-star. And I said, well, how do you get around it? He goes, dude, there's so many different ways. And they look at you like you're dumb for not knowing. He goes, That stuff that you put, you know, your hand sanitizer. My kids carry it on their backpacks to school.
The clear hand sanitizer.
It's clear. So you load your pants up with that in one area, and then you kind of manipulate it to where it cleans off your hands as you walk back for your check from the umpire. I looked at him, I go, people do this? He goes, Oh, yeah. There's weird parts of the glove you put it in. So they give it kind of the cursory look. But when the camera did zoom in, you see his thumb is just caked with brown stuff. And you're like, all right, man, that's the bottom of the ball. Like, that's how you spin that thing, right? Like, so it was just interesting. Nothing happened to him. Probably nothing's going to happen to him, but definitely an interesting one.
There's one person that I'm confident is not using sticky stuff. That would be tonight's starter for the Padres, Matt Waldron. Because the last thing he wants to do is spin the ball. And you do not want any extra spin coming off when you try to throw a knuckleball.
He's actually got
sandpaper. He's trying to
see. Knuckleballers are known for cheating in the past.
They are.
No, but they're not doctoring their hands. They're doctoring the ball to try to make it more chaotic and unpredictable.
Correct.
When they throw that knuckleball and make it flutter and dance even more, and that's why the emery board, the thumbtacks that cause the ball to actually move more. That's different than the kind of cheating that's been going on lately in baseball.
There's been so many good videos over the years of the pitchers getting checked and stuff. Nothing will ever top Phil Niekro reaching into his back pocket, pulling the emery board out, and throwing his hands up wildly, and you see the emery board flying from his hand. But the hands go like, what, me? And you see a board fly from his hand.
Right onto the infield, where the entire crowd can see it. Everyone on television can see it. It's like, who, me?
Me?
I would never.
It was the big hand throw. The big one, you know, just what?
And then, that's just for my fingernails because I need to have them well manicured to throw a good knuckleball.
There's nothing weird going on here. Look, nothing's ever changed in baseball. Nothing's ever going to change. All these guys are going to be looking for an edge of some sort. But I found it interesting last night. He got beat. You know, Tyler Glasnow got beat. So how about Ellie De La Cruz? Holy smokes. Now, I turned it off in like the fifth. He had four steals already in the fifth inning, Ben.
He didn't get any more after that.
Four steals in five innings is insane. He is such a freak to watch. Very excited to play them next.
By the way, speaking of giveaway items, we were just talking about the Spencer Strider records they're going to give out. Apparently, it was pretty much a zoo at Dodger Stadium last night. They had the Shohei Ohtani bobblehead, the first one. But it was only for the first 40,000 fans, and they had like 53,000.
Yeah.
And Dodger fans knew it. So they were all like getting there like 2 hours before the game, and it was chaos because everyone was arriving early. And they said it was pretty crazy last night at Dodger Stadium for the Shohei Ohtani bobblehead.
Okay, so you get a bobblehead. You put it on eBay. What would you think the top price would be for a Shohei Ohtani bobblehead? What do you think it would be set?
No, you had to go to the trouble of getting tickets to the game,
right?
Going to the game.
What
so,
are you selling it for? If you list it.
I'm listing it for $200.
There are Shohei Ohtani bobbleheads on eBay right now for $5,000.
And then
I just looked on eBay right now, not searching highest to lowest, just whatever popped up.
Yeah.
$380.
Okay, so
there are $206.
So what they did also, there was 2% of them were in road gray jerseys,
yes.
And those are even more valuable
rare.
And rare. So I think those are being sold
those
for
are
even more.
$3,100 for the gray.
Yeah.
Dang, dude, this one's going for $1,300. $2,500.
Imagine paying that for a bobblehead.
$1,600.
What What could Joe and Theo net me? I have one at home. I wouldn't do it. I'd have, you know, what do you think that would net me?
Did you take it out of the box already?
It's out of the
box. Then you already wrecked the
value.
The value
is down.
You can get one of those on eBay for $45.
Okay.
$25. $32.
Okay. All right. Not bad. Not bad at all.
We need some callers here. We asked the question, Woods' Kierkegaard quote from the other day in the roundtable. Life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forwards. I would like to know whether Padres fans truly believe the Rockies series was a pivotal moment in the 2024 season or a blip on the radar. Like, what's your true emotions about that series because it feels to us like there's panic in the air among fans. But that's not always truly the case with everybody. Do you really think that the Padres just showed that they're now headed in the wrong direction? Or are you more convinced by what was happening before? The Padres, a team that was building some momentum and playing good baseball. What do you really think? Give us a call, 833-288-0973. I am curious what the real temperature of Padres fans is. And this is ahead of our conversation with Mike Schilt coming up at 9 o'clock. If you want to call us now, 833-288-0973. We'll get to that after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Apparently, Padres fans do want to tell us their opinion of what's going on because instantly full phone lines here at 833-288-0973. Blip on the radar or very telling series against the Colorado Rockies. Let's go out to, let's try Jamie. You're on with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Good morning, Jamie.
Hey, guys. It's been an interesting, for me, it's different. It's been better at times, and then you get some of these slips like losing to the Rockies and losing to the Phillies. I'm a season ticket holder. I've been there for a long time, and I watch every game even when I'm not at the ballpark. And, you know, some of it is just, you know, we hear about the effort and all the thing and their fight and all that, but it doesn't come across that way for me as a fan. Like, you know, some of the things that happened like that. We did that night with the bases loaded, one out, and Manny Machado comes up and swings at the first pitch and hits into a double play. And my buddy and I are like beside ourselves, like, how is that a smart baseball play when this guy has been and the Rockies have walked, what was it, 8 batters? And then he comes back and tells us that after, you know, the next day that he's going to continue doing stuff like that. And for me, it's like, yes, you know, the biggest ego we had is gone, which is great. I think we're a much better team without Soto. But we still seem to have the egos and the overpayment. I mean, if you look just what Bogarts and Machado's, the amount of money we're paying these two guys, that's why my buddy go, bro, that's like $65 million there that we're paying a year. I pay a whole shitload of money. Sorry.
Oh, all right.
All right, Jamie, I do appreciate the call, and you got to keep it clean next time. But
I don't want to rehash the whole Manny situation from Tuesday. If you want to hear that, you can go back and listen on the Odyssey app. I do appreciate the call. I do appreciate a season ticket holder, too, man, that just isn't sure yet. I think that's if you can glean anything from that, it is that he's just unsure. You know, which is, I think, a very common theme.
I would disagree
right now
with his take that we're a much better team without Soto.
I would too. I would too. Production wise, certainly. And I, you know, listen, I know that Juan Soto did not light it up here like he's done so far. How is he doing? I haven't seen anything from him recently. We'll get our chance to see him next week when he comes to town. I absolutely think it's
batting 302, 9 home runs.
Well, yeah, but he was hitting like 350 with 9 home runs a couple weeks ago. He's definitely cooled off a little bit, but like we were talking about
OPS
the Dodgers, but then Aaron Judge heats up and then someone else carries them. The Padres haven't gotten that like the Yankees have gotten this season.
Correct.
You don't have even if you're Juan Soto, Manny Machado, whoever, you don't have to be hot 162
you
games.
You can't be, actually. I mean, it's really, really hard to do.
You have to have guys who, you know, occasionally take turns being hot and carrying the team. And the Padres haven't had those guys. Jurickson Profar has done it so far. That's not the guy you're counting on or paying to do that. You're paying other guys, really, to be the guys who put the team on their back and carry them. And those guys have not done it so
far. But I can understand the is that a word? Unsuredness? He's just unsure.
Uncertainty.
Uncertainty. Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. The uncertainty of being a Padres fan. And again, Elston yesterday with that record for the last 3 years is you're essentially a 500 team, which I just don't think anybody thought. I don't think anybody thought.
But aren't like the Yankees essentially a 500 team the last 3 years,
it's
too?
A good point.
I mean,
it's a good point.
It's not only the Padres who have played 500 baseball with talented players on their roster.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, but they have skins that they can point to and they have
long
that.
Long time ago.
Well, yeah, long time ago.
Well, maybe that changes the emotion level of their fan base.
Yeah.
Knowing they have championships in the past. It really doesn't matter. Just like the back of a baseball card. 27 World Series titles. You know how that helps you winning another one this year? Zero.
Zero.
Zero, none at all.
But I think for the fans, you know, at least you have something. Yeah, yeah, you've done it before. You know you can do it again. Getting that first one, obviously, is really hard.
Let's go to David. You're next up. Keep it clean, David, please. On 97 through the fan.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Hey, bud.
And I have to tell you, in all honesty, I'm not a huge Padres fan, but I'm going to tell you, I think this is a blip on the radar. I umpired baseball for a number of years, and I've seen cream rise to the top, and I think, just like what you're saying, I think that Manny and Tatis and Bogarts are all going to come around at some point during the year. But, you know, baseball is all about numbers. You're going to have a bad slide, and you're going to have a good slide. I'm actually a Rockies fan, so I was happy to see what happened this weekend. But,
you son of a bitch.
You know,
all right, David,
I'm a Royals and Rockies fan, so I've suffered a lot. But, you know, it's fun to go to the games and watch them play, but I think the fans are just a little too worked up at this point. That's my
I think this is really right telling. David, thank you so much for the call. I think it's really telling that I get the sense that neutral observers have more faith in the Padres than Padres fans sometimes.
Well, because I think Padres fans are in it. You know, a neutral observer, like you said, he's like, oh, I'll watch the games. It's fun to go to games. But the Padres fans are in it.
Yeah,
they're knee
but
deep
a neutral
in.
Observer looks and goes, yeah, they get a pretty good roster, a lot of talented players. It's one series. They've been playing well earlier. Why would the fan base be panicking right now? They don't understand why you're so upset and why you're so nervous about the team going forward after a bad series. Yeah, sure, it was the Rockies, but Rockies were, they looked and they said, the Rockies were kind of hot, caught them at a good time. That's just what happens in baseball. Why are Padres fans so up in arms after this series? Those are the neutral observers. The Padres fans, meanwhile, are here we go again. This is the beginning of the end. We knew this was coming, and now our worst fears are being realized. That's the sense that I get.
Impending doom. Yes.
All right. We will continue with this conversation after we talk with Jake Mintz of Cespedes Family Barbecue. He will be up next talking baseball on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.